Things we want to figure out today. So we started yesterday talking about the implicit points in Tosfos, right, that the Mishnah tells us that there's a takana b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam, which applies only under certain circumstances, only if the get comes from far away, and exactly how far away and why far away is a big topic of discussion in the texts. But there's also the fact that sometimes it doesn't apply. So when, let's say, it's in Eretz Yisrael, so the last line of the Mishnah was, Hamevi get Eretz Yisrael, Eino tzarech shiur b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam, doesn't have this takana, v'yemiyeshel of orim b'skayim b'chosmav. So if there is an issue, it needs to be proven, so then you'll do that with the signatures. So Tosfos, as we noted yesterday, has a comment here, that al kol zman d'lo asibah l'ma'arer, but let's say there is no actual error. So then you can use this get, nisei salpi haget, v'lo ta'aninan mizuyof, and we don't automatically, on the behalf of the husband who's not necessarily present, we don't automatically argue that there should be some weakness in this get because of potential forgery. We don't do that. But instead, we allow it to go through, and he writes in Mishum Iguna Akilu Verabanan that because of Igun, we are more Mekel. And there Tosfos goes on to draw a contrast here that Aval B'mamon Tanin Mezuyef L'Nifresh L'Befanov. But if this was a monetary matter, then we would argue on behalf of those who are not able to speak up on behalf of themselves. So let's say, for example, somebody claims that he lent money to an individual who is no longer alive, and now he wants to collect on that shtar from the orphans or from somebody else who purchased it from him, from the lekuchos. So we don't just say, well, okay, God, sounds good. Okay, take your shtar and run with it. But we offer the point that maybe it's mezuyif. That's the position Tosfos takes, because he has to explain the fact that we apparently don't do that in the case of Gittin. That we don't assume that when the get is presented and the husband is not present, we don't say on his behalf, well, hold on, we'd like to reserve the right to argue that it is forged. So Tosfos assumes we don't do that in the case of the get, and we do that if it was some other kind of shtar, let's say, of a loan involving now a next receiver, such as orphans or purchasers. Jonah. Sorry. That was quite the trick. Yes.
What does that say about the status of get? The fact that we're willing to.
Perfect question. That's a great segue question. Right? That's a part of what we want to try to figure out. So what does it say about the status of get? So first of all, what does it say about Tosfos' opinion? Right, so I noted yesterday that Mishumi Guna is not really a sufficient answer necessarily. If you compare it to the situation of a missing husband, so there also were Mekel Mishumi Guna, but that's not the whole story. That's really the motivation. And that's what allows us to rely on different approaches. But it doesn't tell us what the approach is. We still need some kind of an explanation how that works. So in the case of the missing husband, where he's presumed dead, so there we note that there are other factors to allow us to work off that presumption. The fact that there's such a great chumrah if it turns out that he's alive, so therefore presumably the wife will be very, very careful to only proceed if she's really sure, etc., etc. So Mishumi Guna is only the motivation, it's not really the explanation. So we need some kind of explanation here. We need some kind of a way to understand if that's what's happening here, how exactly that happens. Now, presumably, it's easier to understand this without more explanation if we say that the whole din is drabanan. If we say that the whole issue of having to prove a shtar is itself midrabanan, so then we don't really need that much more of an explanation. Right, then we could say that heimamru heimamru. So Chazal made the rule of requiring a confirmation, a verification. But if it's not a good idea for other reasons, such as the potential of igun, so then they didn't want to take it that far. So if we're dealing with rabbinic law, then we don't really need more of an explanation. So the question is, what is the status of this whole obligation of Kiyum Shtaris? So, from Tosfos, personally, I'm not sure. I've seen Svarim that have said that Tosfos' implication here is that this really would be a Din Min HaTorah. That the fact that we need any answer at all is an indication that it's a Din Min HaTorah. Now, I don't know how compelling I find that. You can tell me what you think. But essentially, it's reading the line by saying that Kol Zman Delo Asi Baal Ma'arer Nisei Self Bihaget. And so we'll allow her to marry with this get if the husband hasn't actually complained. That Chazal made a special kula to deal with this because of the concern of Igun. But had it not been for that, it would have been left a different way, and we would have indeed required Kiyum. So there are some who read that way, that therefore this is a Din Min HaTorah, and somehow Chazal had a reason to be Mekel, and we still then have to figure out what that reason is. Or not the reason, but rather the mechanism. What's the mechanism to be Mekel? I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the only way to read the Tosfos. Some point out that maybe it's L'shitasam, because on Daf Hei Mer Aleph, I gave you this Tosfos to look at, the last Tosfos on Hei Mer Aleph, talks about what would happen if a get was not Mekuyim at all. I'll take a question in a second. So if it's not Mekuyim at all, the first line in this Tosfos is that the idea that there could be an absolutely disqualified get in this situation, leading to even mamzeris with remarriage, any future child, would be problematic. Hainu kishalo niskayim b'chosmov. So that Tosfos sounds like it's saying if you had a get that didn't have Kiyum Shtaros, so then you could end up with a actual completely worthless get. So there also, as we'll see, there's some room to question where this Tosfos is going, but in any event, so this is somewhat of an open question. Is there really a possibility of an issue d'oraisa here or not? Eric.
So I know he's talking to us about making a wedding like I guess puzzle Umafreya through like
Afkenu.
What?
Afkenu?
Yeah, through like because it's the same concept of Israel, right? When you have to, so is that an option here to as the mechanism for Mekel and Aguna or no?
So not really, because there. It's interesting, you'll see there are sugyas in this Masechta that may bring that up. It's an extraordinarily complicated sugya, so I'm going to address it only very minimally. But there are times where the Gemara does talk about Chazal having such a power to retroactively declare a marriage itself no good. And it's true that there's different iterations of that, and one of them is when there's some need to support a get that is otherwise flawed. So it's not impossible that there's such a discussion, but it's not what we're up to yet. So there is such a concept and there is such a framework. So far, we're not seeing that yet.
Okay.
Yes, Jonah.
In light of the first Tosfos that we talked about previously, where get could be a form of a star, mm-hmm. right? An example of it under the cloud of a star. Then how do we view the difference we see here in this Tosfos of like, is Mishum Iguna taking get away from the category of Shtaros and making it its own separate thing and saying, because of this Kula, it's incomparable in terms of Kiyum, or it's still a Shtar, but we just have this side Kula coming in and saying that it is a Shtar, but we just don't need Kiyum in this specific case?
So it's a good question, because that's certainly looming in the background, the whole Shtar issue. But it's hard to say that Chazal are going to somehow change the whole definition of the concept because of Mishum Iguna. So it's going to be a strategy somehow. But somehow the mechanism in order to allow this is motivated by Mishum Iguna. We've got to figure out what that motivation is. But to say that they changed the whole category is harder to see. Now, again, if this is a Darabanan, so then really then we don't need another mechanism. Then Hemamru veHemamru. So if you saw the Tosfos Rid, and the Tosfos Rid does address a little bit the issue of why is there no Tanina. Now the Tosfos Rid is formulated a little bit differently than the Tosfos does assume that the rule of Taninan is the same thing. And that here Tosfos draws this distinction that we don't taina on behalf of this husband, but we would taina on behalf of orphans or purchasers in the case of a shtar of a loan. Tosus really takes that in a different direction, assumes that there's the same kind of concept, but then he goes on to explain, so why not? So why don't you have tanina on here or there, but starting off here. So he says that it's not so common, that the issue that may come up is not so relevant. The whole point is that we have to factor in something that's likely to happen. And can draw a parallel a little bit, you know, the whole question now that's in everybody's mind about the appealing to courts for new judgments. And so part of what the courts factor in is, well, how likely is it that you're going to win or lose? They have to kind of calculate that. So that's a part of it. How likely is it that there's going to be such a claim? And how likely is it that it's going to be a valid claim? That's a part of what's factored in. So Tosfos says it's not so likely. And also that we're dealing here with a Din Rabbanan. So a Din Rabbanan, we don't have to necessarily act on the behalf of that possibility. Yes, Jonah. I did it again. It takes 3 hours. I was trying to correct my mind. Yes, zombie.
Even if we are going to say it's likely that way.
Yes.
So 2 questions. First question is, assuming, let's say, I give my get to my shaliach, and it's overseas, so he goes overseas. Mm. Am I, at that point, allowed to get married to someone else, knowing that my get is being sent? That's question A.
Okay.
That's a likely possibility. Second part to that is, what happens if he doesn't make it? Because I'm assuming that happened.
Okay, so now you're getting into the major sugyas that will come down the pike. Although the nafkamina is more in his direction, it's the cherem derben gershon question. Because only the Chayim Derbeinu Gershom that stops him. So the question of the parameters of Chayim Derbeinu Gershom, how confident do you have to be? And the question is interesting because, in general, it draws on the issue of Shliachos or Shlichuso, that you have to confirm when you send a Shliach to do a mission. Can you rely on the assumption that, okay, it was carried out, or can you say that, or should we say that, no, you have to confirm that it happened? So we often draw a distinction between Torah law and rabbinic law on that front. So that's going to possibly impact this issue, because here, if he's only worried about Chirim Debeinu Gershom, it's a matter of rabbinic law, presumably can rely on Shliachos v'Shlichuso when it comes to Torah law. So then, first of all, the stakes are raised. But also, there are other complications, and that's for future sugyas, as far as the consequences of Shlichus. Shlichus is going to be a major topic that we're going to have to come back to and figure out how that plays out here.
Is it an immediate gratification? Meaning, like, let's say he sends his shaliach, okay, boom, he's divorced.
Right, so then also, how much time do you have to allow for it to happen? So that's God willing, we'll see some more about that. So now let's consider how all of this relates to the Rambam. So if you saw the Rambam, hopefully you had a chance to see the Rambam, the last halacha in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Gerushin. So the Rambam goes at great length. So I'm going to read to you excerpts of this halacha because it's long. But tell me what you notice about this. Okay, so starting here from the middle. So here you have a get that's Yotze Mitachas Yada. So here there's a get that the woman is bringing about that was brought to her. Eina tzricha lomar klum. So she doesn't have to say anything. Varehi b'cheskas migoreshes, and we treat her as divorced. Ho will the get shviyada kasuv kolchaso. The get looks like it's written properly. V'edim chasumalav, and it's signed by Edim. V'afal pish eino makirim ksavosum Edim v'lonis gaim. Right. So it's no kiyum shtaros here. We don't necessarily recognize these Edim, and there hasn't been a process of verification. In choshushin la shema zifo, so we don't worry that maybe she forged it. Shaharei eina mekalkelas al atzma, she's not going to cause herself such tzaras. It's going to happen if that's discovered later. So that's a reliable assumption. The old shaidim hachesuma mahagat harei heim kamishin echturei dusin bebezdin ad shehei shama ira. And also that the Edim who are signed, so like the Gemara says, we have the assumption that it's as if they were fully investigated in Bezdin up until there is some kind of a challenge, unless there's some kind of a error. L'fikach naimin agab chaskasa v'sinase. So therefore, we allow the get to be taken as valid, and she marries. Ve'ein choshen shemi yimatzei mezuyof. We don't worry that maybe it'll end up being discovered as a forgery. K'moshen na'min haget b'cheskes kasher k'shiyav yoso ha'shaliach. Just like that, so we assume when the shaliach brings it, ad she'ar ha'baal, until the baal comes and complains, oh, ad she'yavi rayu shemezuyof uvatel, or we bring some kind of a proof that it was a forgery. Because if we worry about such things, then we should also worry about the get that the husband would give in front of us. Maybe he canceled it and then gave it after he canceled it. Or maybe the edim are psulim and it's therefore internally invalid. Or maybe it's not written lishma. Okay, shame, shame, chayshim lizad. Just we don't worry about that. Chiyotzebo, elon amidenu al chazkaso. But rather, we leave it on a chazaka. Shivade shuvato, unless it should become established that it was nullified. Kach lo nachash lo shaliach v'lo isha atzma. So too, we don't worry whether it's the shliach talking or whether it's the woman herself talking. Shaget yaitzim itachas yada. That get, or the situation where the get comes from the woman. In either case, we're not worried about it. Shein dine ha'isurin ki dine hamamanos. That the dinay of Isser is not like the dinim of Mamanas. So, do you notice anything interesting about this Rambam? Hopefully, a lot of things interesting about the Rambam, but do you notice anything particularly striking about the Rambam? One thing to notice is it's just pretty long. Right? You just had to sit through a long reading with a whole spiel. Could have been in Hilchos Megillah. So, what first you might want to clarify is, it's hard for you to pick it out based on my reading it, but there are at least three arguments that he's making here, all to the same point. Right? The only is really one detail, so a few details, but really one major message of this Rambam. Right? What's the one major message? We don't need Kiyum Shtaris by a get. Sometimes we have a takana of b'fani nechta b'fani nechtam. It's a separate story. But let's say within Eretz Yisrael, so we don't need kiyum shtaris. That's his point. And he ends up giving you a whole bunch of reasons. Right, that we're not worried that she's going to mess herself up by herself forging a get. And also the edim are considered to have been examined. So therefore, we allow it to make a chazaka. We're not worried the Baal's going to be ma'arir, otherwise we should have to worry, even if he was right there in front of us, that maybe he's playing some kind of a game. And this mysterious last line, she'ein din ha'isurin k'dini ha'mamanos. So essentially, you have at least 3 points here, all to make the same argument. So is this just overkill? Or is it possible he's addressing different things? So again, just to recap, right? That we aren't really worried about Ziyuf in this case. And we aren't really worried about Irur. And it's not like Mominus. Why does he need to say all those things? Is he perhaps addressing different points? Is this just a whole big group push all just to make one point? Eric?
I mean, according to... Can you tell us about Mamatzia? Mamatzia makes a lot of
distinctions. What, sorry?
Mamatzia.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of distinctions between Mamat and, like, some. You split it up sometimes. Ratifying, whatever. You know, I think it's interesting. It also talks about, like, if you have a handkerchief, you can rip the handkerchief in half. It doesn't really work with a wife. You can't really, you know, two sides, you know.
Would be awkward.
Yeah.
Right.
But some of that. But, so, I mean, the function of it is different than Mamonos. And maybe you could even say that, maybe, I think Ram does hold that Shtar Mamonos is Darabana and then Ken is Daraisa. So, it would make sense to think that they work differently. I don't know about Mara, though.
Yeah, so all of those points are true. And those may be elements of this answer. So, to try to understand why there are so many different things being thrown at us here. So, let's consider it. And there's a nice shiur. They printed up the shiurim of Dov Schwartzman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis HaTalmud, the son-in-law of Rav Aaron Cutler. And some of these points come from the way he understood this Rambam, so just to make that clear. But there are perhaps three different questions being asked, and the Rambam is maybe answering all the three questions. So the first question you could ask is, isn't there just a din of Kiyum Shtaros? If there's a din of Kiyum Shtaros, so then shouldn't we say a get needs Kiyum Shtaros? Get is a shtar. Right? And as some of you have noted, that seems to be, as Jonah was saying before, actual Jonah, that this seems to be a issue beneath the surface here, and as we've said, it's one of the major questions that the Mishnah is alluding to. So how does get fit within the world of Shtaros and the din of Kiyum Shtaros? So the first question we could ask is, well, wait a minute, isn't there just a takana in general that Shtaros need Kiyum? And how do we deal with a get not needing that? Right, so Tosfos said, well, it's different Mishum Miguna. But the Rambam's not saying that, per se. So he has to answer that question. Right, so it's essentially the same question that's one of the same questions that's implicit in the first line of Tosfos. So the Rambam has to answer that question also. How come there's no din of Kiyum Shtaros by Yid? Now, this is a particularly important question to answer because it relates to another question, which you could take a step back. So we have this institution of Kiyum Shtaros. What happens if a shtar is not Mekuyim? What's the status of a non-verified shtar? Caleb?
Well, does it really exist?
Okay, so it doesn't really exist. That's quite a strong statement, but it may be true, right? It's Ki'ilu, which is not obvious, right? But it could be true, right? That you could have said, okay, it's just a questionable shtar. But there are some indications, at least according to the Rambam and maybe other possibilities, that that's true what Caleb said, that the shtar is Ki'ilu, it didn't exist. Eric, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely machlokas happening about Messiah about that, and you have two sides. I think that's where the Rambam and the Lachamashim disagree, but yeah, they take different sides of that machlokas. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a question of whether Kiyum Shtaros is something you do for, like, Tikkun Olam reasons, or it's something that's an actual din in Shtaros. And it's a lot easier to say with Mamun for a ton of reasons. A, because those Shtaros are a lot more likely they're abundant, and B, because Beitin and Rabbanim can do a lot more with money than they can with Nair. It's a lot easier to move around. There's a lot of concepts there. I remember learning too about Okim of one of the Bechasis Mari, and that's a concept you can use.
And we'll see that next week when we talk about Prisbul and Shmita's so stuff, and will be a
money,
major issue.
Yeah, money's a lot easier, but deciding whether a get is chal or not is a lot more ramifications, and it's a lot harder to play around with. So
right, that will be a major topic next week. And when we say we're talking about Prisbul next week, there's a lot of subtopics in Prisbul also, so we're going to allow a lot of days for it, so we're going to try to, that'll be a major theme next week. But, so that's true, so that's related also to what Caleb said, they're both true, that, first of all, maybe there's a big difference when it comes to general shtaros and gittin, as we'll discuss in a second, but first to establish as far as shtaros, so there are some indications that a shtar that's not mekuyim is garnished. So in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has that discussion. I think you were referencing. If you had a chance to see it this morning on Dav Zion, so the Gemara contains a reference that sounds like a shtar that is not verified is chaspa ba'alma. It's just like a piece of clay. It doesn't have any status as a legal document. It's also a Gemara in Ksubis. I didn't ask you to look at this, but because it's a little bit back and forth. But the Gemara is in Ksubis. Yudchas, Yutas, and Chav. There's all the sigils there of Kiyum Shtaros. So it sounds like there are some involved rayas from those Gemaras that before Kiyum, so a shtar, it's as if it hasn't happened yet, as if it isn't really in effect. So to whatever extent a shtar is giving edus, so that edus, sounds like from the Gemara, hasn't happened until the shtar is verified. But most significantly for us, we want to know what the Rambam holds. So the Lecha Mishnah, in Hilchas Edus, he points out that that's presumably the Rambam's position, and it relates also to what Eric was saying about the Din D'Rabbanan. But the language of the Rambam is that Kiyum Shtaros, as we already said, is D'Rabbanan because of Shlo Tino Delos B'fnei Lovin. So Lecha Mishnah you had a chance to see that, right? What does Lecha Mishnah say? That, what does it mean, Kfar Biarno? We already explained this. What's he talking about? What is that? What did he say about this? So, as the Lecha Mishnah notes, what he means, I already explained that Shtaros said Rabbanan. That Shtaros, as we discussed last week, according to the Rambam, Shtaros are a problem inherently, because they're written testimony, and that should be impossible. Mipihem v'lo mipiksavam. Shouldn't be able to have written testimony. And the Rambam says that, yeah, Shtaros only exist on a level midrabanan because we want lenders to feel comfortable, that they can have recourse, so that there'll be proof that they lent out the money. Again, major segue, a major synergy between that and Prisbul and Shemitah's Ksafen. Hi.
Was it that the Kino Hashar itself is what is
Nirvana? Oh, so that's the point. So that's what Lecha Mishnah is trying to explain, because he's commenting on this line in Hilchos Eidos that the Rambam says, I already explained to you this is Drabanan, and because of not wanting to slam the door in the face of borrowers. So Lecha Mishnah says, what do you mean? Where did he explain that? When did he say that? What does that have to do with that, slamming the door in the face of borrowers? So he explains that what he means is that when he said that shtaros exist, the drabanan because of this. So if you put the two statements together, what is he saying? He's saying that kiyum is a part of his original explanation of why and how shtaros exist. So you put the parts together, like Caleb said, what do you come up with? Without kiyum, shtar doesn't exist, right? That's a part of the definition. When the Rambam says, I already told you about this, this is a part of trying to help the borrowers, what he means is, I already told you shtaros exist. So now, Kiyum Shtaros is a part of the existence of the Shtar. So it sounds like for the Rambam, as his other sources also indicate, the sources from the Gemara itself seem to indicate, that a Shtar that is not Mekuyim is nothing. So then it becomes especially important, well, what's the story with the get? Is a get without it? Is that your question?
Yeah, I mean, from the mission, it seems that, like, that if it's not Mekuyim, then as long as the Baal is not saying it's fake, then...
Exactly, right? So that's basically what the Rambam seems to be answering here. So perhaps this is the first question, which is a little bit implicit in Tosfos in that first line also, right? So Tosfos really is making a few points in that brief first line, but just the assumption that we don't need Kiyum Shtaros for a get. So perhaps this is what the Rambam is especially have to deal with, because the Rambam for sure seems to hold that Kiyum Shtaros is vital for a shtar to exist. So if there's no kiyum shtaros, there's no shtar. So what's the story with a get? Can a get exist without kiyum shtaros?
I mean, yeah. You can say that if the Rambam holds that a shtar is equal to a get in that sort of way, then maybe you could say that according to the Rambam, the whole kiyum is actually what makes a shtar, like what we said. Whereas the Mishnah holds that shtar, the idea of shtar, the idea of having something written down, is kind of deraisa. So having a kiyum there is, even though it's very vital, it's not the end-all, be-all of what the get can be. I mean, even if you give it and there's no kiyum, at least for a case of giving it in Eretz Yisrael, then if there's no kiyum on it, it's okay until all the problem comes and until the Baal comes and claims that it's fake.
So just to clarify, are you saying that, I'm not sure what you're saying, because kiyum shtaros only exists on a level of midrabanan and only was introduced, presumably, again, we've seen a little bit of questions raised about that, but it seems the most likely possibility that it only exists on a level of midrabanan, and get we know is daraisa, so it's hard to say that that is definitional to the get.
Yeah.
The get existed before kiyum shtaros existed. The concept existed.
Right, but according to the Rambam, the get is in of itself a kind of a weird darabanan, not really daraisa thing, or not really known to be
daraisa. What is darabanan, sorry?
The shtar.
Right, so shtar, of course, right. So there's all, especially within the Rambam, so the answer is going to come a little bit easier.
Right, but because he believes that it's actually the Rabbanon, mm-hmm. that the kiyum is really what makes it, if it wasn't the kiyum, it's like we said, it's like nothing.
It's easier for that to be true because of its Rabbanon origin, according to the Rambam.
Right. But if it's the Raisa, then having the kiyum, even though it's very important, it doesn't make it. So if there's no kiyum for this case in the Mishnah, it's okay until the Baal comes and claims that it's actually fake, and then we have to get into more nitty-gritty.
All right, so you're making an important point. I just want to clarify the role that point makes. First, let's see. So just to compensate, I'm going to call you Zandi for a second. So yes, yes.
Just on that point, then, yeah. It's even more clear for the Rambam because we have this case of avakula, in which if you're really defining it as a derabanan, and it's definitionally derabanan based on this kiyum, then when you have the case of aguna, and you want to be makil, then you have all the room to be makil.
Right. So except that he doesn't say that. It's like for the Tosa Rush, for example, it's a good answer, and it's probably true by itself, but the Rambam doesn't happen to put that forward himself. But what Boaz is pointing at is that maybe the question itself also has another answer. So just to kind of break down what we're seeing here is that the possibility is, as we mentioned, that let's say there are at least three arguments the Rambam is making in this one halacha. And that the three arguments might be necessary because maybe we have three questions to answer. So question number one is, what happened to Kiyum Shtaros regarding a get? And especially that's crucial because Kiyum Shtaros, where it does exist, seems to be definitional, as Caleb would say. It's as if it doesn't exist without it. It's existential. So without Kiyum Shtaros, it's nothing. And the Rambam, as the Lach Mishnah points out, especially seems to feel that way. So we have to answer the question, why no Kiyum Shtaros by a get? So according to, for example, Schwartzman and his Shurim, so he's saying that's the first answer here. The first statement the Rambam is making is to address that. When he says that it's considered as if it's Nechkra of the Bezdin, it's as if it's already examined, and the woman's not going to want to mess herself up, etc., etc. That's all to address why there's no Kiyum Shtaros by a get. So essentially, the first of these three arguments, maybe that's because question one is, how come there's no Kiyum Shtaros? Now, Boaz is making the point that maybe undermines this a little bit, because you don't have to answer that question. That question you could answer on its own, that maybe, especially for the Rambam, Kiyum Shtaros only exists by monetary Shtaros because that was part and parcel of the rabbinic innovation of Shtaros, like the Lech HaMishnah was saying. That Chazal made Shtaros, and in order to make them work, they also required that there be Kiyum. Because without Kiyum, the Shtaros are going to be highly problematic. So together, Chazal made the Shtar, and they also made this rule of Kiyum. But there's no real reason to say that that should be true by a get. A get was not invented by Chazal, it was written by the Torah. So who says that there should be any such institution? And especially, as we discussed before, that the Rambam himself seems to draw this sharp distinction, because when he said, Shtaros is Rabbanan, and the Ramban objected, well, what are you talking about? You never learned Gittin? What about Gittin? Gittin never learned Sefer Dvarim? So I ever read Kiseitze? Get is in the Torah, isn't it? So clearly the Rambam was maintaining that get is defined just completely differently than other shtaros. So maybe, Boaz, your point is that there's an easier answer to the question. It doesn't have to say anything else. Except we could still say that, yeah, all right, so maybe that's true. And maybe it wouldn't go so far as to say that a get without Kiyum is nothing, the same way we would say a shtar without Kiyum is nothing. But you could ask the question a little bit of a different level. Okay, so we don't have to be as dramatic about Kiyum Shtaros, but maybe there still should be a Kiyum Shtaros, that the concerns are still there. So if Chazal felt it was necessary to institute Kiyum Shtaros for their Shtaros, so maybe they should have instituted it for Get also. Maybe it wouldn't go so far as to disqualify the whole Get, but maybe they should have instituted it anyway. So to that, we still need the answer that, okay, but there's a chazaka here, and the chazaka is powerful, and it's unlikely to be necessary, so therefore we can rely on that. So maybe that's part one of the Rambam, to address why is there no institution across the board of Kiyum Shtaros that just is an absolute, that by other Shtaros we say we absolutely need Kiyum Shtaros, and go so far as to negate the whole shtar without it. So why not here? The Rambam's addressing that. And with Boaz's modification, we'll say also that even if we wouldn't say it would make it worthless, but it should still be a takana. There should still be a rule that you have to do this, at least for whatever impact it has. And the Rambam is explaining why there's no concept when it comes to getting. So far, so good? Okay. Now, I shouldn't say, you know, no concept, because you see also when the takana of the fanenechtem is in play, so then it does draw on a kiyum shtar, so it's an overstatement to say no concept, but he's explaining why here there isn't a need. So that is potentially question one we need to answer. Question two, that maybe the Rambam is using some of the space to answer, is, okay, so we don't have a general, always across the board rule of kiyum shtaros. But maybe there just is a real fear here. And maybe we have to worry that the Baal is going to be ma'arer. And why don't we take steps to address that? So you don't have to say there's a general takana, and the takana without it again is no good, the shtar is no good, fine, don't say all that. But what about the possibility that the husband's going to show up and is going to negate the get? Now, to throw in another source here, this is especially important now for the Rambam again. We're also here to say here that the question would be especially strong for the Rambam because of a position the Rambam has earlier in this parak. And what is that? Anyone know which position I'm referring to? So the Rambam's position is very strong on this, which could create a pretty powerful question he has to answer. And that is to go back to Perek Zayin Halacha Beis. What's the Rambam's position about the Baal objecting? Yes, exactly, right? So that's the position. In other words, what is the effect of the Baal objecting? If it's Yetzev of Lab Mamzer, what does that tell you?
The get
is completely nothing, right? Meaning this is effective on a level Minat Torah. Right? So the language of the Rambam, since thanks to Caleb we have in front of me, so Halacha Bey, Zayin Bey, Bo HaBaal, V'irer V'omer Lo Gerashtia Me'olam, V'get Shuvah L'Mezuyufu, if the husband shows up and says, I never got divorced, then this get is a phony. What's the din? Yiskai and Bechosmo, so then they'll try to establish that if it's true or not, but if not, im lo niskai and below no doe de klal, if they're not successful, then what's the story? Do we just say, well, we just don't know, and it's just in limbo? No, rather we say, teitzei vavlad mamzer, shairei eina megureshes. So that has the absolute effect of the get being nothing. So apparently, this is effective even on a level min ha-toru. The irur habal, if the husband comes and objects, so then the get would be totally worthless. So the question he has to answer here is, why aren't we worried about that? And this seems like it's a pretty significant risk. So why aren't we worried that this may happen? So to that, he addresses, well, if you're going to worry about a possibility like that, right? So now let's look at his language again, the first halacha we were looking at. You're going to worry about that, then you'll worry all day. Right? Then any scenario is going to have some kind of a risk involved. So essentially, it seems like he's addressing that question, right? That since, should it happen that the Baal comes, that's going to be a nuclear bomb, right? That's going to totally obliterate the get. So then we should put in a plan to deal with that. So his response is that, yeah, but how likely is it? You know, we don't really need that. Now, just to kind of plant some seeds for the future, so you see there's a couple of interesting things that are going to have to be considered here when we look into this a little bit more in the future. So first of all, the fact that the Rambam says that there is this absolute consequence if the Baal is Ma'arer is itself interesting. And that seems to reflect the fact that essentially the get is by its nature a representation of something that the husband is presumed to have said. And if he comes and says, I didn't say it, so then he is the most plausible, he's the most credible player here, because this is supposed to represent his statement. And therefore, if he says, it wasn't me, I never said this, so then that should have the highest level of credibility. So essentially, that probably explains the nature of such a soul. But together with it, so it probably also answers its own question at the same time, because why is the get all dependent on what the husband says? Because it's supposed to represent his statements, and therefore he has such credibility. But that same thing makes it kind of unlikely that he's going to show up and be Ma'ar. So being that that's what's going on here, this is a representation that he said something and he could just show up and say, I didn't say it. So how likely are we going to have a forgery of this nature? Right, so it ties in to why it's not a concern. Because it's such a present and powerful risk, so therefore it's not so likely to be the case. Not so likely that you're going to have a forged get, because the husband is going to have this almost absolute credibility. I say almost because if you were able to be Mekayim the Shtar, then that would help. But in the absence of Kiyum Shtaris, he has almost absolute credibility to destroy it. So how wise is it going to be of anyone to produce a false get, a forged get? And that's what we said, the Ishein Mekakelos HaSatzma. Right, so it's not going to be a pretty, it's going to be a pretty silly plan to try to remarry based on this document that is so easily rebutted. So maybe that's what the Rambam is saying. He's answering this second question. Okay, so far so good? Everybody with me? Okay, so that could explain the second argument that the Rambam is putting here. The third argument, so maybe that goes back to the question we started from at the beginning, and the issue that we started with yesterday. But okay, so there's no automatic Kiyum Shtaris Din. And there's no concern that the husband's going to show up and be Ma'ar. But maybe there is a role for Taninon. That maybe the Beis Din, whoever's there, should come forward and say, I'm speaking on behalf of the potential Baal, and I'm going to record that Taninon. Right, so that's what we said. That was the question that Tosfos left open to try to say, why are we not going to act on that behalf? And Tosfos said, Mishum Niguna. And the Tosfos HaRash gave a little bit more detailed answers to that. So why do we not have that factor here? So that, perhaps, is what is addressed by the last line of the Rambam. She'ein dinei ha'isurin k'dinei ha'mamonos. That we don't have the same rules, as Eric was starting to address before. We don't have the same rules for Mamonos and for Issa. Now that's an important thing to try to address, because the truth is, usually that actually argues in the other direction here. Because the standard for, we call Issa, we normally mean, we're talking about Yoredeya, you know, Issa Behetar, we call that Issa. What we really mean is the Davar Sheb'Erava in this case, which has a higher standard than money. We should be more worried about the implications of a mistake in the area of Arayos is more serious than a mistake in the area of Mamonos. So usually that distinction really should mean we should be more concerned when it comes to Gittin than when it comes to Mamonos. But for this particular din, for him to say, well, we're Makel because not like Mamonos, so especially considering that that should have cut the other way. So what's he getting at? What do you think he means then when he says, well, Mamonos and Issur are different? So it sounds like what he's addressing is this question. Why don't we say Tanina? Right, Ketosvus drew a distinction that for Mamonos, for Yisomim, or for Lekuchos, we will Taina on their behalf, but not here. So the Rambam is essentially addressing that too. He's saying, yeah, if you were telling me that this was about a shtar of a loan, so then we'd have Tanina. But this is not that area of halacha. This is a whole different world. So we don't have Tanina. So we don't have to bring that in. And essentially, that also, like everything that's packed into this Rambam, this also introduces a whole other topic. Basically, how do we, together with the question from before, is this a shtar or something else? What's the nature of the divorce process? Is this like a momentous dispute? We discussed a week or two or so ago about whether a get needs a bezdin or not, and we discussed the possibility maybe it needs a bezdin for the momentous, but not for the etzem ha-divorce. So, what is the process of the giving of a get? So you could say what the Rambam is getting at is that if I have a monetary dispute, so then it's all about tainas and arguments and figuring out who wins and who loses, who's right and who's wrong. In that world, we could say there are tainas that are evaluated and that somebody else may sometimes have a place to offer a taina on behalf of one of the parties. But that's not what this is about. This is about essentially just being matir, this woman, to the rest of the world. It's not from the world of tainas and fights and that kind of litigation. So the whole notion of taninan doesn't apply. And some of the other Rishonim have similar language, like the Ran and the Ramban. And they address this question, where they say that ein ha'isha mamono shel abal, to go back to a point that we made a week or two ago also, that kiddushin is not a purchase, she is not his property. So therefore, the attitude that we have of, okay, when you're fighting over your property, so then bring out all the tainas, and we'll even bring out tainas on behalf of one part or the other. So that works in that part of the world, in that area of Shulchan Aruch. But when it comes to Kiddushin and Gittin, that's not relevant. It's not about that. And therefore, that doesn't come into play. And presumably, that's what the Rambam was saying that last night to the question.
Yeah. What's the difference between Taninan and Irurei Baal?
So the Baal, when the Irurei Baal is, the Baal comes himself and says, I think this is fake. Taninan means that if the Baal is not here, so maybe somebody else should say on his behalf, well, you know, he may come and say it's fake, so let's factor in right now the possibility that it's fake and be forced to address it. Because maybe, we see this as a question, but maybe in monetary cases we would say that. Right, that if somebody comes to collect from orphans, saying, I actually lent this money to your father, so now I'm coming to take it back. So we would say, on behalf of these poor orphans, hold on a second, I don't know, how do we know the shtar is real? Maybe you forged it. Right, this also connects to the previous point. There is a linkage between all these points, that the previous point of how likely is it that a Baal is going to come and claim a get as a forgery, given all the other facts here. So when it comes to a shtar, it's much more tempting. Right? That if you didn't have the din of kiyum shtaros, so then, as we find that language, you're not going to give anyone, as Tosa says that language, right? You're not going to let anyone live, because anyone basically who has an opportunity to deal with the next generation or with lekuchos will all of a sudden find a shtar that was signed by some mysterious Aiden, and say, oh yeah, funny you should have that, because that was actually something I lent to your father or the previous owner, so you got to give it to me. So there, the temptation is pretty high, and the risk is pretty high. So if you don't have Kiyum Shtaros there, so then you're going to really be vulnerable. So Taninan, so especially, you could see, okay, they're pretty vulnerable, right? So you have these orphans who don't know what negotiations, what deals the father conducted, and someone's going to show up and say that, oh yeah, your property was actually mine, I lent it to your father, so I'm taking it back now. So you can understand somebody's going to say, hold on a second, the orphans, they don't know what happened, but I'm going to be pretty concerned that there's a forgery here, and you have to defend the point. But does the logic transfer over to the get situation? Are the likelihoods really comparable? Presumably not. If somebody shows up with a get saying that the husband issued this get, and he knows that the wife is going to remarry based on that, and he knows that should the husband show up at any time for the rest of history and say that I never wrote this get, there's going to be huge problems. So how likely is it? It's not like the property where the guy can just run off and maybe never get caught again, and then the original owners and the father's not even alive to say that he wrote this thing or not. So you see just the odds, the likelihood of a problem, are vastly different in one area than the other. Now that's enough reason to say why not Taninan, but the Rambam also adds that it's just a different area, and that's something we'll have to explore more, that the world of Taninan fits in the world of monetary disputes. It doesn't fit in the world of divorce proceedings. Eric?
So
So the two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, does Barivishama Bariyata fit in here at all? And secondly, is there if there's a ksuba with a monetary agreement that has to be paid to the ex-wife afterwards, does that put any part of this in the realm of DNA Momonos?
So these are great questions, and first it relates to the second, because that's where Baruch Hashem is going to possibly play a role. So all of that is way outside the scope of the time we have right now. So
okay.
Some of it's going to come up in the future. A lot of it will come up in the future, so I'm going to punt on that one and defer that for later. But these are important issues. And just while we're doing this, and then we'll wrap up and we'll dive in. And again, our goal is to pivot to other sugyas for a while, so just to kind of put a little bit of a map on what we still want to figure out. So there are a lot of sub-sugyas that come out of this that we still want to explore. So just to highlight a few questions that we're going to want to come back to is, so all of this was about just the lack of kiyum shtaros by gittin in general. And it was about the second half of the Mishnah where there is no takana of b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. So what about the situations where there is such a takana? So a couple things just to think about and teasers for the future. So without that takana, is the get no good? And does that mean that the rabbis have the ability to neutralize a get that would have been good min haTorah because of the absence of a takana? That's a fascinating issue we're going to have to clarify. But together with that, so what about the other half, that it seems like the takana is effective to help a problem daraisa? Because we just said before that if the husband would show up and be ma'arer, that apparently would, on a level, min haTorah would knock out the get. But b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta would save that. So this takana derabanan would prevent the nuclear bomb of the husband. It's pretty impressive. So the role of rabbinic law on top of Torah law in two different directions is something we'll have to figure out. Could that takana knock out the Torah law of a good get? And also, could it defend the get against the Torah gun that the husband has? And all of this coming from the shliach, so this opens up the whole sugya of shlichus. God willing, we'll have to see that and its considerations. But also, to the extent that he is giving testimony here, and that it's effective on the realm of Eidus, so that brings up a number of questions, such as, is it an Eidus, and is it subject otherwise to the rules of Eidus, or is it just some other kind of Ne'amanus? And how does this relate to what the Gemara invokes of the potential of Eidechad Ne'aman Yisurin, that major aspect in halacha that impacts a lot of other things? So that's also something that we will, God willing, have the opportunity to explore. So just to quickly recap, so what did we see? So we started with Tosfos, implying that we're not going to have Taninah of staying, we're not going to have Taninin by a get, and we don't even need Kiyum Shtaris either, if it's local, if it's from Eretz Yisrael. And is Tosfos saying it's a Daraisa? Hard to say. Some read it that way, but we'll have to see. And that Mishumi Guna part, if it's Daraisa, we need more of an answer. That's the first part of an answer. It's not the whole answer. If it's Darabana, then that could be a whole answer that Chazal were making on their own rules. And we saw that Tosfos Rush gave answers to this question, one of them being that it was a Darabana. And then we saw that the Rambam, when he says why there's no requirement of Kiyum Shtaris for a get, or this whole situation, how to explain it, as a long halacha, which includes what seems to be too many arguments. So we explain, and some of which the points were pointed out by Rav Schwartzman, that the Rambam seems to be answering three questions here. Right, question one, why is there no Kiyum Shtaris by a get, especially if you say Kiyum Shtaris is vital to the existence of a get, of a shtar? So why is that true for a get, and why not? So for the Rambam, it's an easier question, like Boaz pointed out, because there's a big distinction between getting another shtaris, which are the Rabbanan. But also the point that there is not that much of a concern of Ziyuf. So therefore, even if your question is, why is there no Takana, so that also he could be answering. Second question, why don't we say, okay, there's no takana of kiyum shtaros, but why don't we really worry about iur, especially the Rambam Shitaso, the iur is effective in the level of Torah and would destroy the get? So that the Rambam's answering here, because not so likely, for a bunch of reasons, not so likely it's going to happen. And that opens up a future discussion about the nature of the credibility of the Baal and the get, and the whole point that he is the Baal HaGet, and what exactly that represents. And then the third question, which was Tosus's question, why is there no Taninan at least? Why don't we speak up on his behalf and say, maybe there's an error in that? The Rambam's answer is Mamanus and Yisurin are different, and that also opens up all kinds of discussions about the process of the get and the statement of the other Rishonim that the woman is not the Mamono of the Baal and the like and all of that. And then we just added these three questions to keep in mind about if you do have a situation that requires the statement of b'fanenechtam, it's a new level, so that's a din d'rabbanan. But would that disqualify the get without it? Could the din d'rabbanan knock out the din d'oraisa of the get? That's one question we're going to have to see in the future. Second of all, how it works the other way, that the takana is able to offset the concern d'oraisa of the Baal's era, according to the Rambam. And the third question, the whole role of the shliach here, is he actually giving edus that is accepted in a different form? Is he doing something else? What is his namanus? All of that has a lot to explore when we fully get into the status of the shliach. But before that, we first have to appoint a shliach tzibur. So do we have a volunteer?